Luke chapter 10 in your Bibles this morning. It's a portion of scripture you know very well, and maybe you can go back in your mind to when you were 6, 7 years old and your junior teacher taught this on the flannel graph board. I remember Mrs. Kelly doing that. It is a wonderful portion of scripture. Luke chapter 10, we'll begin reading in verse 30. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and he said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." We begin this morning with an unnamed man. We assume that he was on his way home from Jerusalem to Jericho. Perhaps he had sold some things in the larger town of Jerusalem, and he had some coins in his pocket. He feels pretty good about life. He's looking forward to getting home to his family and to his friends. But he's on a tough road. From Jerusalem to Jericho is 17 miles. The road drops 3,600 feet in that short distance. Jerusalem is 2,300 feet above sea level, and Jericho is 1,300 feet below sea level. It's not a pretty journey. In that day, it was a very dangerous journey. In the 5th century, Jerome called it the bloody way. Men hid and made their living robbing people up and down that road. This man would have known that. He knew that when he started home. He was all alone when he faced, first of all, reality. He fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, the Bible says, leaving him half dead. These men were not only robbers, they liked to hurt people. They wounded him. They left him for dead. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a picture of life as we know it. You've seen the pictures in New York City and other places where some older person is walking down the street and somebody just reaches out and clocks them and knocks them down and sometimes kicks them. I wish we lived in a world void of thieves that strip people and wound them and leave them for dead. You understand from that book that lies in your lap this morning that Satan is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, and he is ever so successful at that. He is actively involved in the destruction of man's happiness, and he does such a good job. Temptation leads to sin. We're acquainted with the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're aware that there is none that doeth good and sinneth not. We are aware that the Spirit is willing in each one of our hearts, but the old flesh is weak. It makes no difference how wealthy you are, how much education you have. We all wrestle with the things of life, the realities of life. The ultimate reality is that Satan will destroy us. He will strip us of pride and dignity and character and beauty. He will wound us and leave us half dead, and then he will mock us in hell if he is not conquered. Please, ladies and gentlemen, understand the reality of life for us. All the little gals in the beer commercial seem to say you can get further and further away from God and get happier and happier in your life. And ladies and gentlemen, that is not true. Second of all, not only do we have the reality of life, but we have the rescue. Look at verse 31. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. That man, I'm sure, must have thought, surely the priest will help me. He's dressed in his robe. He has on that thing that they wear. Surely the priest will help me. He had a right to think that. But the priest changed sides and passed by him on the other side. I suspect that he had a good excuse. He may have been on his way to Jerusalem to serve in the temple. It may have been his course. Touching a dead body required extensive cleansing practices, and he was just too busy. Not one of us, stripped and wounded by sin, have not looked for help in some person or some program or some plan that will be the answer to our problem. But so many times, they just pass by on the other side. They're just too busy. Look at verse 32. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, he came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. This man is a Levite, a fellow Jew. He must have thought, certainly he will help me. But he didn't help at all. He took time to look and passed by. And let me give you an excuse for him. Those robbers often had a decoy, one of their own covered in blood, and he may have thought, it's probably a trap. I'm going on. The man is still there, and he's bleeding, and he's dying, and he's helpless. Verse 33 and 34. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. When he saw the Samaritan, he probably said, he's not going to help me. He had good reason to say that. The Jews hated the Samaritans. Consequently, there was no love lost between those two races of people. In fact, the Jews called the Samaritans dogs. In John 4, the woman at the well couldn't believe a Jew would even talk to her. But Jesus did. He probably didn't think the Samaritan would stop, but he was wrong. He came to where he was. He tended to his wounds. He poured in medicine. He put him on his own beast. He put him in an inn and took care of him. Let me just say this, ladies and gentlemen. That is what the incarnation is all about. Satan wounds all mankind. Where will I find any help? Who will not pass by on the other side? I'll tell you who won't pass by on the other side. Jesus won't pass by on the other side. Jesus came from another country, was despised and rejected of men. He came to seek and to save that which was lost and hurting and bruised and bleeding and wounded by sin and left beside the road and pay my price for recovery. Jesus did that because he understands me and he knows me. Charles Stanley has a son named Andy. And Andy was preaching, and he told this story. A farmer had a beautiful Labrador retriever whose name was Lady, and she had pups. Farmer was out by the road nailing up a sign that said, "Puppies for sale." A little ragamuffin boy was pulling at his trousers, and he said, "Mister, I want to buy one of those puppies." The farmer said, "The puppy's mother is a very expensive dog. These puppies will be expensive. Do you have any money?" He said, "Mister, I have 42 cents. Is that enough for me to at least take a look at the puppies?" "Yes, it is." The farmer called out and said, "Lady," out of the doghouse and down the ramp came a beautiful Labrador retriever, followed by her puppies. Bundles of beautiful little fur came running down the ramp towards that little boy who had a huge smile on his face. Then his eye was caught by one other little puppy. Smaller, clumsy, tried to get out the door and fell down. Tried to go down the ramp and couldn't walk right and walked leaning to one side and kept falling down and rolling. The little boy watched the puppy all the way with his mouth wide open. "Mister, that's the puppy I want." The man said, "Son, that's not the puppy you want. It's the runt. It's crippled. It can't walk right. It can't run. It'll never be right." The little boy reached down and pulled up his breeches leg. And the farmer saw some steel rods running down the boy's leg. And he said, "You see, mister, I don't run too good myself. That puppy needs someone who will understand it." Let me just ask you something. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? He came here from heaven. Third is the return. Look at verse 35. "And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, 'Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.'" When he left, the man everything was not right. He was still hurting, still a lot going on in the man's life. When he returned, he would take care of everything. So he promised to come back. Let me ask you something. When you read this story as a little boy or a little girl, did it ever enter your mind that the Samaritan would not come back? Not at all. A man that would go to that length would finish the job. When I come back, I will make everything all right. When Jesus left after securing our salvation, he said, I will return. Everything is not right now. When he came the first time, he came to die. The next time, he comes to reign supremely. He will make everything right. The question is not, will he return? The question, ladies and gentlemen, to every one of us this morning, will we be ready for his return? Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for those wonderful, wonderful promises, exceeding great and precious promises that your word gives to us about your return. And dear Father, to the depths of our soul, we believe those promises and we look forward to that time when your Son will descend in the air and we will meet him in the air. And dear Father, may we be ready for that to happen. May we have done our best. May we have witnessed to the people that you bring into our life that means so much to us. Oh, Father, help us. Help us to do what needs to be done. Dear Father, I just ask that you might speak to each one of our hearts this morning, that we might take these truths to our heart and allow them to change our lives. Thank you for every family that is represented here this morning. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.